Get ready to get your mind blown. Listen in as I interview new guests each week to share their knowledge and experiences on subjects we all wish people spoke more about. Covering all things health and wellness, you'll be sure to experience the best mindgasm you've ever had. Today, I am joined by the legendary Tim Story. Tim is an acclaimed author, speaker, humanitarian, and combat coach to the stars. He is best known for inspiring and motivating people from all walks of life, from entertainment and celebrities to adults and children in third world countries. Using his key principles and sense of humor, Tim helps people move past the obstacles that are holding them back in life. During our chat today, Tim explains how you can achieve success just by changing your mindset and what to do when you are lacking motivation and feeling lost in life. We've all been there. You hear me say this to Tim at the end, but honestly, by the end of this podcast, my cheeks were hurting from smiling so much. I really hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Mindgasm podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today, Tim. I am so excited to have you on the show. I have got so many questions I want to speak to you about. To jump straight into it, you are very well known for your work with many inspirational role models such as Oprah Winfrey, Robert Downey Jr. and Kanye West. But I want to know a little bit about yourself and what led you to becoming the motivational speaker that you are.
I think that really what I am is a humanitarian. So when I was in high school, I was very much an athlete. And it's interesting, a lady in the school, one of my classmates, she was reading a book on the life of Mother Teresa. And you've heard of Mother Teresa, I hope.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so she was reading this book and she goes, "Tim, I think you would like this book." So just to be nice to her, I took this big, thick book and I started reading it. I got just caught up in it of how she helped change all these orphans' lives. And so I decided to go to seminary because I wanted to be a humanitarian. I just thought that's kind of the way I'm going to slide. And I just kept going on and on and on. Then I got a doctorate in world religion. But while I was in seminary, I already started creating a curriculum to help inner city kids around the world. I did that at like 19 years of age. Wow. So that's how it all started, of going to seminary, loving the underdog and wanting to lift people up.
And what would you say it was that drew you towards Mother Teresa herself?
I think that the idea of Mother Teresa was on her way to one thing. She was doing one assignment, which she was a school teacher. But that she heard the cry of the person that did not have a place to live. And I think that as a child, growing up in a lower income family, seven people in a two-bedroom apartment to start with, mother sixth grade education, father 10th grade education, we were strugglers. And so there was like a cry of our heart, like to not be in that space. Mm-hmm. So instead of becoming a person that got all egoed out, like I'm going to show people, I was more like, I want to help the underdog. And so, yeah, I wanted to help other people that were crying from their soul.
Amazing. And how did that journey then transfer to where you are now? Because obviously you've been doing this for many, many years. Was it something that your passion for it just grew, or was it because the people you were working with took you on that way?
I think that there's no doubt about it. Some things in life you decide, other things you discover. And so my journey has been more of a discovery. Mm-hmm. Like I decided to go to seminary, but the discovery of becoming Tim Story, life coach to the stars, living in Beverly Hills, this I never planned. I was just minding my own business. And when I did my inner city program, a very famous guy found me and I was probably 22 years of age. And he found out what I was doing, African-American guy. And he says, "I've got a lot of money and you got a lot of skills. I would like to help you to keep doing this in the inner cities." And so him and a lot of other wealthy people who do well in life, they started to help me out in the inner cities. And next thing I know, I started speaking for a lot of professional athletes, speaking to teams, and athletes usually know entertainers. And then it spiraled into this thing of now I work with over 300 entertainers as a therapist, counselor, life coach. Yeah.
Wow. And I suppose certainly keeps you on your toes when you're working with so many different people all the time. You never stop learning.
Never. No, because when I say I work with them, some of them are in a good place. They just want to stay in a good place. Like I was talking to a guy yesterday who I've been working with for 23 years, and he's very, very well known. And he says, I stay with you and I meet with you every week because I just want to stay on the straight and narrow. So, you know, some people, I famously help them turn their setbacks to comebacks, and other people, it's just for them to stay on the right path.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. With COVID being very much a prominent thing, obviously, in the last year, that has brought a lot of change to many people's lives, some good and some bad. And I feel that many people are driven to suicide or really dark places when they hit rock bottom, which I'm sure many people you work with have been in similar places. But why would you say it is that adversity breaks some people, but then for others, it can drive them through to greatness?
I think that with COVID, that when we really found out how serious it was around March, mm-hmm. and then the whole idea of quarantine, and then the whole idea of masks, and maybe being isolated from our friends, our family, I think it was too much for most people. Mm-hmm. But there's different reasons. But one of the main reasons you're not going to hear very often, and that is, I think that as a society, we were moving at such a fast pace that we had become human doings instead of human beings. Mm. Is that they did not know how to navigate this coronavirus and having to stay in one place for so long. No doubt about it.
Do you think that's something that even pre-COVID post-COVID is still going to be something that's going to be a reoccurring issue, because it's that issue with navigating something that isn't familiar?
100%, because I think that we're dealing with this, with COVID-19, and we're dealing with isolation, and we're dealing with delays and detours. That's happened to your life and my life and anybody's life that's human. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of delays and detours. And I think that people have not equipped themselves to handle change. They have just become creatures of habit, and now they're going to have to figure out how to navigate change. And then if you learn to navigate change, now you have that skill set in your repertoire for the rest of your life. And so I think you're a person that understands change. I'm a person that understands change. So I've been able to navigate these rough seas probably better than other people because I started off in rough seas as a child.
Absolutely. Would you say that having to go through rough seas makes it easier to be able to have that skill? But if you're someone who maybe hasn't had that and then it's thrown into your life, what advice would you give to someone to suddenly have to navigate that?
So if you've gone through the rough seas, I think you're better equipped to then know how to navigate, because you've done it before, and maybe you've leaned on the right people for help. And so you have what I call skills, tools, and attitude. So in order to get through the difficult times in life, there's three things you need. You need the right skills, you need the right tools, and you need the right attitude. And I think that's one reason I wanted to do your podcast, is you're teaching people really about that by mm-hmm. the guests you have and by who you are, about the skills, the tools, and the attitude. So once you have that, you know, as part of your life, then when things come up in the future, you know how to deal with that. It's like you could say, okay, I dealt with that and that, I can handle this.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that's the thing that a lot of people are lacking, or maybe they're not lacking all of it. They maybe got the tools, but they haven't got the skill. And it's being able to put all those three together is what takes a lot of time, work, and self-awareness to be able to do it.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. we live in a world that a lot of it is about stimulation, entertainment, and enjoyment. Now, I'm all for all three of those, but in moderation. And so I think a lot of people have a hard time just being quiet and being still and being in the moment, fully present, fully feeling, and fully alive. And I think that if you use this quarantine time correctly, it could save your life. Because I believe that when you're in the moment is when life really begins to rise up in you and beautiful things happen. So I think so many people were so busy, their life was a blur, and they were missing magical moments, literally missing them, that were right in their house. Definitely.
Completely. You get caught up in, we always refer to it as like the rat race, but you do, because the days just blur into weeks, the weeks blur into months, and suddenly a year's gone by and perhaps you're still in the same position you were a year ago.
Yes, 100%.
We find that it's not uncommon that many of us, I guess, can sometimes act like victims, and we have excuses for why we don't do things. For example, you maybe don't work out because you don't have the time, but then you go on to socialize with friends. Or we say we want to leave our jobs, but then we don't because we're scared of change. How do you go from transforming that adversity into an opportunity and stopping the procrastination?
What I think that when somebody has what I call a life interruption, like a life interruption, like COVID-19 has done, that it's a challenge. And now it's created what I call a setback. To set something means to fix it, to solidify it. So you are set back. So some people have been set back in their jobs, in their mindset, in their relationships. So when you are in a setback, you have choices now. Are you going to sit in the setback? Are you going to settle in the setback? And you'll like number three. Are you going to cement yourself in the setback? So both of us know people that are sitting in their setback right now, settling, which is just like, I live in the land of okay now. And some have cemented themselves in, you know, the pandemic, and they will just kind of stay there for a long time. So you have to make a choice. A choice is a selection. And so you have to make that choice of, you know what? I'm going to find a way to get up out of this setback situation.
And what would you recommend as that method to be able to get out of it? Because it's very easy for us to sit there and be like, okay, you're in a setback. Let's get out. You're not going to do your comeback. But then people are going
to
be like,
being that I'm the comeback coach to the stars, maybe I may have some points.
Would you like to share them?
Yes. Okay. So number one, you have to become awake. And what do you mean by that, Tim Story? I think that a lot of times we're like sleepwalking through life. And we could be in a bad relationship and be sleepwalking in that. Be in a job you don't like, be sleepwalking in that. Your physical body appearance, it's not good, but you're like sleepwalking that. So you need to wake up. So that means to come out of sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. You need to wake up. The second thing that you need to do to have this comeback is you need to take inventory. People don't like to do that. To really look at yourself and say, whoa, okay. How am I physically? How am I mentally? How am I spiritually? How's my job? How's my finances? Okay. Mm-hmm. How's my relationship with whoever I'm with, or if I'm single? Okay. If I have kids, how's my connection to my children? How's my social life? People do not like taking inventory. How do I know that? Because I life coach brilliant people. And so when I do this inventory thing with them, they do not like it. If I say on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade yourself as far as your clarity of mind, they don't really want to go there because taking inventory can be, you know, difficult to look at. So number one, you wake up. Number two, you take inventory. Number three, you got to partner with the right people. Okay. Mm. So I believe that some of you that are watching right now, you probably need to rearrange some of your partners, because maybe they were like good time partners. They're great at the good times, but you need partners that know how to handle the tough times in life, the difficulties of life, right? Mm. They can get in the battleground with you. So those are three of many steps, but You need to wake up, take inventory, and partner with the right people.
Get these into the tools that you need to be able to, I suppose, focus on your comeback and really evaluate yourself.
Yes, 100%.
You've mentioned previously in talks that you've done about how also to do well in life, you need to have uncommon thoughts, uncommon plans, uncommon partners, and uncommon discipline, which I guess feeds into a little bit what you were just saying then. But can you tell me a little bit more about that and elaborate on this uncommon theme?
Yes, and thanks for doing your research. I think that it depends on how you want to live your life. So if you want to like just come out of a setback and like, okay, so now I'm at ground zero, you know, yep. I'm a survivor. And then that becomes your story. I'm a survivor. Okay. That was not good enough for me. So being that I was like from a lower income family and my father died when I was 10, that was not good enough for me. That was not going to be my story. And so I knew I wanted to do something wonderful. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I wanted to do something wonderful and manifest something wonderful. So what I found about people who end up doing wonderful things in life is that they have an uncommon mindset. They think uncommon thoughts. Like I'll give an example. Walt Disney in the 1930s walked into an amusement park, not his own, but just some amusement park. And he was with one friend and he told his friend boldly, hey, someday I'm going to build my own amusement park. But mine is going to be different, better, and more magical. I mean, how powerful is that?
I mean, that's incredible.
I love it because I love that he trusted his friend enough to proclaim that, okay, that I was going to do it different, better, and more magical, because that was not his ego. That was his reality.
Yeah.
Completely. And it took only about 25 years later that in 1955, Disneyland opens in Anaheim, California, and it says on it, the happiest place on earth. And it was different, better, more magical than the one he had seen. Uncommon thinking. So we have to get to the point, like, if you're okay in the land of okay, then so be it. You should probably turn this podcast off, because otherwise we're going to inspire you. But see me speak in person, you'll see the reaction. You'll see people crying, like for real. You'll see people get very emotional. You'll see people like going like, what the heck just happened? Because I have a gift to reach down into people and say, look at what you've become. And are you good with that? Okay. And if not, let's pull out the rest of the greatness that's inside you. And I think a lot of people don't focus on what's still undeveloped. So again, if you want to do great things, you have to have uncommon thoughts like Walt Disney. Secondly, you have to make uncommon plans. So in the midst of the pandemic, when my mind became more clear than ever, I don't think I've been this clear since I was 20 years of age. And I don't think I've been this funny since I was a kid. I'm funny in my speeches. I'm funny with my friends. But I was working a lot because I have a lot of good jobs. And I found that I was not as funny as I used to be, but I'm funny again, because I have had time to like just reset myself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the midst of the pandemic, man, I've been making these uncommon plans, doggone it, and they're working. This is not stuff I'm just like, oh, I wish. Oh, no, I'm manifesting. So uncommon thoughts, uncommon plans. And then here's the thing that you like, because you're like this. You have to have uncommon discipline. And there's a rap song you probably don't know. And it's by Rick Ross. And the whole thing is, every day I'm hustling.
Every day I'm hustling.
See? Good. You did good. So every day I'm hustling. Because when you come from what I came from, my mother said to us, we may be lower income, but we're not lower class. So the dishes were always clean. The house was always clean. And that's how I am today. Like, I like doing things right. Okay. I like doing things right. But I have uncommon discipline. I am freakishly disciplined. I was that way in sports. I'm that way in my mind. I'm that way in what I watch, what I see, what I say. Discipline. When you have uncommon discipline, you really cannot be beat.
But do you still work on your discipline, or have you had discipline from day dot? Because many people are not disciplined. Like, that's a skill in itself.
Of course I work on it. I don't just stop. No, I'm working on every part of my life all the time, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. I mean, I am 60 years of age, and I have a 28-year-old trainer who just kicked my butt this morning. Was I in the mood? No, I wasn't in the mood. Mostly when it's like, come on, 20 more. I'm thinking like, hey, dude, you're freaking 28 years of age. I'm 60. No, but I pressed through because in order to be Tim Story, I need to be in the shape that I'm in and getting in even deeper and stronger. No, I'm always working on myself. So my discipline is strong, but I'm getting stronger in my discipline.
Because you are very much a various learner. You do film, you do TV, you do talks, and you put 110,000% into everything you do. But I guess that comes back to your discipline with each element of it.
Everything. But don't you feel like you're talking just to me right now? See, I'm in the moment. And so if we ever went to lunch, you're going to notice my phone will never come out. Most people, oh my God, I'm so important. I got to put my phone out there. I wonder who it's buzzing all the time. You're wearing me out. No, I have uncommon discipline. You're right. I'm in the movie business. I'm doing an amazing movie with probably one of our two top actors in the world. I'm working on a $25 million play in which probably the top rapper in the world is doing my music. Amazing. I have three new TV shows come out right now. You know, I have a best-selling book that's out right now. I have a new cartoon coming out with my friend Randy Jackson from American Idol. It's teaching kids about music. Man, what a privilege.
You don't stop. You do not stop. Are these areas that you have kind of set your mind on previously and been like, okay, this is where I want to go? Or again, has this kind of an opportunity opened up and it's flowed?
It unfolded. Like, let me tell you this. So, and if I mention an entertainer, it's because that's part of my life. If I work with horses, I'll mention horses, but I don't work with horses. But there's a guy in America called Quincy Jones, and he's one of the greatest producers of our time. He produced anywhere from Frank Sinatra to one of the greatest albums of all time called Thriller with Michael Jackson. Okay. Yep. So Quincy Jones has won like over 30 Grammy Awards, and he's a brilliant guy. And he's been like my mentor for over 28 years, okay? Mm-hmm. So Quincy Jones is quite a brilliant guy, and he's one of the guys that challenged me to do what I'm doing. Right. And he said, Tim, you're so busy like being the humanitarian guy that you're not paying attention to this entertainment creative side of you. So he says, all you got to do, and he physically pulled me and he goes, just turn just that much and then go do that. And then you're also great at business. So why don't you just turn that much and go do that? I mean, it was brilliant. What you do is you take your skill set and you're right here and you turn and you do that. And then you turn and you do a Broadway play. Then you turn and you do movies. Then you turn and you do books. And you turn and you do projects with Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, you just keep turning.
Before you know, you've done a full 360 and you're back here on the Mindgasm podcast.
Talking to your brilliant mind.
What would you say to someone then who's sat here right now and they're lacking motivation and they're feeling so lost in life and they haven't got on, they're not in a place to be turning because they don't know where the hell to turn?
Yeah. And that's a lot of people. And don't put yourself down, because most of the people that feel that way, they've been hit by the waves of life. So I was in Hawaii one time and I was body surfing, and I was only about 11. My sister was modeling there, and she let her little brother, who's much younger, hang out with her and her model friends for like a month. It was summertime. So I was body surfing every day. I would take the bus, body surf. There's a reason for the story.
Okay.
On Sandy Beach in Honolulu, when the waves come, they come hard. You got Makapu to your left, Sandy Beach to the right. And bam, a wave hit me. I got up. Bam, a wave hit me. I got up. Bam, a wave hit me. And then I realized that they had knocked off my swimsuit. This is a great illustration.
I've got an image right now.
Well, I'm super skinny at the time. I'm skinny still. But I was skinny. And I had a big Michael Jackson afro. And luckily, I look and I see my swimsuit. So you would think that the waves would time out. Time out. Time out. I'm naked.
Help. Help.
Right. Nope. Yeah. Here comes another wave. Bam. But wait, my swimsuit popped back up. Watch, I'm going to get it. Bam. Two more waves hit me before I could grab it, pull them up, and go. That's how life is. If you're not careful, the waves of life will hit you and hit you and hit you. And I say it this way, if you don't do something with life, life will do something with you.
Mm.
So the people that are being beat up and being hit by the waves, okay, so life has knocked your swimsuit off. Okay. But you got to get to the point where you're like, come on. I'm tired of just being beaten by these waves. It's good, right?
It's amazing.
I'm going to go get that damn swimsuit and I'm going to put it on and I am going to keep body surfing. You would have thought I would put my swimsuit on and then, running the shore. No, I stayed out there.
And I got back on that bodyboard. That's amazing. I guess that's the thing. It's like the old saying, you don't get off. I'm going to probably ruin the saying now, but you get back on the horse when you fall off the horse. It goes back to that, right?
100%. But in fairness to all you that are watching, you've probably been through a lot of crap. So we're not telling you that it's easy, but being beaten by those waves, they knocked me into a state of nakedness. I had no choice. Some people that are watching have been knocked to a state of nakedness. You were married to some fool that cheated on you, and now you got to raise 3 kids on yourself. That's like being knocked to a state of nakedness. So I work with people that have had the crap kicked out of them. And so what are you going to do? Just stay in the state of nakedness? No. Your swimsuit or bathing suit is over there. Go get it.
You've got to keep pulling it back. Keep pulling it back.
That's powerful. If somebody will really just pay attention to what I just said, that'll motivate them for at least 8 years. Just that little statement right there.
And the thing is, it's so simple. It's such a simple concept, but at the same time, there's so much sense in it. And if you're going to go get your shorts and then go back and you're like, I'm out, I quit. Well, that's it. That's the end? That was your life journey?
I wasn't going to let those waves defeat me. Mm-mm. And another thing is, for you that are in a setback, don't forget that somebody's hurting worse than you. So, you know, I have my story, like, all this stuff happened to me. And in fact, in my new book, Miracle Mentality, I tell things I've never told before ever in my life to people who are not my closest friends, about part of my childhood and pain and stuff I've been through and prejudice I've been through my whole life. But it's not going to make me feel sorry for myself. I need to get back up. Somebody's hurting worse than me.
When you've got that fogginess, though, it's quite hard for, I guess, many people to be able to have that clarity to be like, hey, this is only a temporary mindset and people have got it worse. Because when you are in that state of mind, you kind of feel like you're the only one who's feeling like that.
Can I tell you why? And the reason I know why, because this is what I do for a living. Like, don't ask me to cook you a meal. It's not going to work.
There's no spaghetti bolognese coming this way.
No, but if you look all here, you're going to see books. If you come to this office, there's books everywhere. I'm being sent the greatest information. I'm super spoiled this way because I work with the best psychologists in the world, not just in America. They're sending me things nonstop on different subjects. And one of the things that psychologists have found is that when somebody is going through something, they go what I call singular. Okay, I like to always simplify things. They go singular. Like if you're sick, like, I have a cold. Get me some soup. Watch, you've gone singular. Mostly a little kid, like, I can't go to school. When you're happy, though, everything's plural. Like if it's a little girl, hey, mom, can Amber down the street spend the night? Everything is plural, like, woo, like plural. Or women that are finally with their friends, like, woo, I'm with my girls. Well, I'm in Vegas. Selfies, okay? So everything's plural. Everything's plural. When you're like being hit by life, it goes singular. We got to go like this. We got to go plural on purpose.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I'm a wordsmith. Be careful.
I like it. Plural on purpose.
Yes. Do you think I just wake up every day feeling like so phenomenal? I just did one of my great friend's funerals. He's on a show called ER, used to be with George Clooney. He died. And I just did his funeral just last week. And 2 weeks before that, another friend of mine, he had a Rolls Royce, Ferrari, and a Lamborghini, 45 years of age, died of COVID. I just did his funeral. Okay. Officiated them. That sucks. That's painful. These are my friends. Okay. But I have to make the choice to go plural.
And you're making that choice every day to be like, I have two options, singular, plural.
Every damn day. Yes. I wake up sometimes and I feel 23. Because when I told you I was 60, you should have said, oh my God, who's your surgeon? Because you look so much younger. you didn't go for, I like threw the bait out and you didn't even go for it. You just went, I said, I'm 60. Almost every other person.
My rod was stuck.
Almost everybody else says like, oh my God, you don't look that old. But not you, you just went.
That bait got a bit lost along the way.
What has to happen is some days I wake up, I feel 23. Some days I wake up, I feel like 43. I never feel the age I'm allegedly supposed to be. But when I feel 43, sometimes I ache, like stuff hurts, like, ooh, ouch, each. No, I'm not going to stay this way. No. Going out. Got to get plural. Because somebody's hurting worse than me. And now I have a label of being Tim Story.
Yeah.
So if I go through any airport, especially people that are from my color, they love Tim Story. And I see the guys that are doing the bags that work at TSA. They're like, whoa, Tim Story, you don't even know. Oh, man, Tim Story, saw you on Steve Harvey. Tim Story, oh, my God, I just saw you on CNN. Tim Story. So I can't be walking around all beat up. Carrying my bag? No. Boom.
Boom. But do you feel a pressure to always have that attitude, even on the days when you are feeling singular? Do you feel like you have to maintain this plural mindset because of that?
When I was young, I did, but not anymore at all. When I was 30 and I was a boy wonder, because I was speaking in the biggest stages in the world, 30, 20, in my 20s. Then I did, when I lived, you know, I brought my lifestyle down a little bit, but I was mainly been in Beverly Hills in these gigantic houses. When I was like that, yeah, I felt the pressure. Now I don't at this stage of life. And it's not age, it's just maturity. I don't feel it. I feel that I want to just be the best version of myself. That's it. That's the reason I'm doing it. I'm not doing it because, like, I got to rise up. I got to perform for the people. I got to do one more concert tour. No, no. I want to rise to this utmost life that I'm supposed to live. That's my reason.
I guess as soon as you take away that level of force to feeling like you have to act a certain way, it suddenly becomes a hell of a lot easier. Because then it's
so much easier. Take that pressure off, people. Take it off. We're always going to be undone. I like undone people. Some of my favorite people are artists. I hang around predominantly artists, like painters, models, famous rappers, producers, directors, Broadway people. I like my business people and my business guys that I hang out with, but I tend in my free time to be around the creatives. Mm. And they know they're undone. They're being undone is cool. You don't have to have it all together.
I guess it kind of feeds back into that. It's that uncommon theme. It's like you're not the same as everybody else. You are undone. You're maybe a little bit rough around the edges, but hey, that makes you you, and that makes you different. Actually, it makes you great to be around.
I think so. And part of that is because I don't have an agenda. Mm. Like there's not an agenda. Like if the guy comes and brings me my packages, I'm like dialoguing with the guy. When I go into a convenience store and someone comes up and asks me like, hey, are you you? Are you Tim Story? I go, yeah. And I'll dialogue with someone for like 20 minutes. There's no agenda. And I think when you don't have an agenda and you're okay being slightly off, life gets really beautiful in a magical way.
Yeah. And you're just you. Like as soon as you start to play a role that is to fit somebody else's agenda, then you're never going to be able to play it completely as well as you could if you were just playing yourself.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, if I was to get married again, which I was married many years ago, I think it was 17. So if I got married again and the woman that I was with, if she wanted me to alter some things, to be honest with you, I would really make that attempt to alter things. So I'm not saying that I'm just me, this is where I am, this is how I roll. No. Mm. If I move into a relationship, then I'm willing to flow with somebody. I do that in business. I do that with a lot of partners that I have in different ways. Yes, I mold and yield. Yield is a big one. And so, yeah. So be yourself, but also be a team player.
And be flexible when necessary.
Well, that was a perfect word. You just beat me at that word, flexible. That was a good one. Be flexible.
Bringing it in there. Going back more to looking at ourselves. So we know that as human beings, our nervous system is hardwired for comfort, right? We love being comfortable. However, we also know that in order to grow, we require discomfort. How would you recommend to somebody to manage to override that natural instinct?
Okay. Don't order discomfort on purpose. It's like, don't be like staying at the Four Seasons and have this beautiful menu and go, you know, I like to order some damn discomfort. You don't need to order it. It's going to knock at your door.
Order discomfort with a side of struggle, you know, just on the side.
Yes. So if you're, we call that bougie in my neighborhoods.
Bougie.
So if you're kind of bougie, which means, you know, like you like the finer things in life and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I love this. I like to wake up late. Okay. So there's nothing wrong with liking comfort. But I will tell you, you're going to have to learn to deal and embrace and navigate the discomfort, because it's going to come, and it's going to come, as we said earlier, in waves, waves. And can I tell you what most people do when the discomfort hits?
What?
They become very dramatic in the midst of the drama. So a lot of friends, you know, if a lot of drama hits, they become very dramatic in the midst of the drama. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. How much longer do we have to wear these masks? Oh my God, I freaking hate this. I'm so over this. Okay, that's being dramatic in the midst of the drama. But for some of us that are used to like a lot of discomfort, You learn how to handle it and still have magical thinking at the same time. So I handle my discomfort right this second, and I choose to live in the magic at the very same time.
Well, that's not easy to be within this whirlwind of discomfort and you're still making something magical happen. Like, that's what everyone would dream to be able to do. But
can I give you one tip on how to do it?
How?
So number one, I agree with you. But if you learn to put things into a category, like, okay, so right now, maybe someone's having problems with their mother. The mother's irritated with you. Okay, just put that into like that category, like your family is your, okay. Or maybe you are having problems with your body and something's happened to your body and you're a little nervous. You've been having to go to the doctor. Okay, that's another category. But don't let these messes and this madness bleed into your magical. So in my book, I talk about parenting, how to have magical parenting, being magically single, magically in relationships, magically financially. But people don't know how to put things into categories, and they let the mess and the madness of these two things that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. their mother and their health, bleed into amazing moments that are happening right here, and you missed them because you let that bleed into your magic space.
So it's having that control to keep the separation. So you're not turning this mess into a washing machine of terribleness.
Yes, exactly. You want a 2-minute illustration on this?
I really do.
Okay, so like in my world, there's a lot of clapping. There's a lot of clapping for me, like, because I speak at these big conferences, right? Mm-hmm. Like, ladies and gentlemen, they call him the life coach to the stars. Da, 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 da. And here he is now. You get my point? Okay. So I get up. I'm at this conference and I'm speaking. And I am like flowing. I'm moving in my magic. I'm flowing. I'm on my game. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy comes towards me with a disheveled looking suit. His tie's crooked. And he has a piece of paper. Let's get a piece of paper. And so he goes like this. He says, "You have been served." And he gave me these papers. So somebody was suing me over something silly. When you have a lot of money, someone's going to try to sue you.
Always.
Have good lawyers. I have a plethora of them. Okay. So this guy knew that I was speaking at this big conference, and it was big. He goes like this. "You've been served in front of the people." True story. So most people would have went like, it's thrown off my rhythm. Listen, I've been through hell and back since I was a kid. I can handle this. So guess what I did?
What did you do?
I said, "Ooh, thank you very much. Thank you for that." I said, "Let me fix your tie." And I went like this, and I fixed his tie. And he looked all shocked. And I go, "Let's give this man a clap for doing his job." And everybody's clapping. And I never said another thing about him. I just went on with the message. It's a true story.
No way. Oh my God. That's incredible.
Big deal. I got served. I dealt with the thing, and it only lasted a month.
Wow. I bet he still has that tie hung up to be like, "This is the tie that Tim's story corrected."
He probably thought, "What just hit me?" Because he thought he was going to embarrass me. Like, "You've been served." Like, "Oh, this is so embarrassing." Yeah. No.
You just did a full 180 on the whole situation. Amazing. You've touched on your book a couple of times, but let's talk about this because you have got a new book out, and yes. Incredible. And it's for anybody who doesn't know about it. It's called "We're Looking at the Miracle Mindset." And the book is about bringing any setback into the biggest comeback for yeah. people who are in this position. And as we've been going through this talk today, talking all about things around this topic, but Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by having this miracle mindset?
Yeah. So the thing is, the reason I think the book is doing so well, and you'll notice I'm not real salesy. What I'm just saying is what I'm doing. But the reason it's doing so well, look, let me tell you what's not usual. Someone just placed an order right before this podcast of 500 books at one time. 2 days ago, someone placed an order of 2,500 books at one time.
Wow.
4 hours ago, Joseph, my assistant, said someone just placed an order of 350 books. Now, why is that? Because it's a movement. Because what has happened to us is we started off with a miracle mentality when we were kids. What do you want to be when you get older? I'm a princess to a little girl, a little boy. I'm an astronaut. I'm going to be an astronaut. No little kid says, I'm going to be divorced 5 times. Come on, right?
And so if they do, then there's an issue.
So this book is about how to align yourself with who you really are. And a miracle mindset is a magical mindset. It is an uncommon mindset. It's a mindset that's not normal, not regular, and not status quo. You were never made and built to live an ordinary life. So in this book, I teach you how to tap back into the magic.
Incredible. So we're going back in time to before we had distractions, before we had these self-limitations, and we're pulling them all away.
100%. You're lightening the load. And usually the reason this happened to you is somebody taught you wrong. Some tutor, some teacher, some religious leader, maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe your aunt. Somebody told you something that, you know, stuck on you. And you thought that because you got pregnant at 15, now you got to be punished your whole life, or because you got divorced, now you got to be punished, or because you lived this lifestyle and you were raised religious, now you got to be punished. And so you need to take those tags off you and start just releasing who you really are. And you, well, Oprah loves this. She says, she told me in her backyard, just dialoguing as humans. She goes, I love this saying when you say, we are a miracle in motion. That's what we are. Come on.
We are.
We're a miracle in motion. That's why I was excited about doing your program. When I saw your Instagram and I saw your energy and I saw your vitality, I'm like, you know, somebody could not just confine this lady. And if they tried, you done jumped out of the box.
No, do you know what? It's such a good message to be having with your book, because so many people are living their lives and they're looking back and they're like, I missed that chance. I wish I had done X. I wish I had done Z when I was younger, or when I was younger, I wanted to be this. And people think it's too late. And do you know what? Like, you're sitting here, you've got this book, people are coming along on this movement, and it's like, it's not too late.
It's not too late. So can I just say this? It's not like when you're looking for a comeback, again, it's not looking for a place like, ooh, the comeback is when I get married and then blah, 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 and then ha, 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 then I have this many children. See, people are tripping about like the place. No, I'm just trying to get you back on the path. Because if I get you back on the path of living and you start having the miracle mentality, watch out.
There is no stopping you. I held my back.
Really? My gosh. Like some of the things, like I write every month for United Airlines. I write every month for American Airlines. I'm in 90 airports of the world. So if you travel almost anywhere in the world, you're going to see my face everywhere. I'm up everywhere. I'm on billboards everywhere. I'm on those big jumbo screens, and it's me talking, Tim, motivating, these 3-minute segments, and it says everything, the text is down here. I'm in the stores. You see me in the TVs. 90 airports of the world. Almost every day of my life, someone sends me text, goes, holy crap, I just saw you. Okay, I'm also in, listen to this, a million hotel rooms doing the same thing. Now, a million, 1 million. Wow. I didn't say seven. I said a million.
Wow.
Now, look how down to earth I am. A normal.
It's insane. It's insane.
I got paper right there. I don't even know what's it's doing there.
That's booking. Is that paper booking you?
Not so much. I haven't shaved in 3 days because I'm not in the mood. Usually I'm very clean shaven. Okay. And the thing is, who cares? I'm on a path and I got a freaking miracle mentality. And in that mentality, I saw this stuff happening. I saw it happening.
Before it even happened.
Yes. The guy who got me to be in all the airports, the 90 airports, I didn't ask him. He said, I want to do it. The American Way magazine, they said, we want to do it. A lot of my businesses that I run, that I became this big Tim Story businessman, it was these people saying to me, for what you've done for my life, I want to cut off this percentage of my business. This has been happening since my 20s.
Wow.
Come on.
It's insane.
It's not just a place. If it was a place, I'd be all uptight. I'd be like, okay, how much longer? I got stuff to do. I got to get to the place as quick as possible. No, I'm on the path. I'm talking to you right now. It's part of my path.
I'm so happy to be part of this path. It's amazing. And I feel like the fact that you are so down to earth and you have this attitude and mindset empowerment is like, look, anybody who's listening, just take a moment and really spend some time and re-listen back over to this, because the amount of quality and big lessons that you could take from Tim today is incredible. And if you really want to change your mindset, you can. And yeah. Tim is there to help you.
Yes. And you are too. So keep following her podcast. And how do they tell more friends about your podcast?
Hey, to find the podcast, you just got to look for Mindgasm, because we are giving everybody a Mindgasm.
You're phenomenal. So you see how big our social media is. I won't throw out numbers, but watch how many of my people start following you because they like smart people. And so you're doing the same thing. You're helping to stir up the miracle mentality. So thank you for being of service and caring enough about human beings to want to give people a life lift.
Tim, where can people find you? Like, how can people find you and absorb your energy, absorb your knowledge?
Let me just give you my phone number. 555. 5555.
Hey, Tim, what's happened? You'd be like, boop. Sorry, Russell, what?
I think the easiest, like Tim Story, but I'm STOREY.com. And you see all the things we're doing and see if you connect to any of it.
Amazing. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for your time today and the energy. I'm leaving this podcast on a cloud nine right now. My jaw is aching from smiling. I'm like cheek to cheek.
You're on. It's your time. You're just going to do nothing but rise. You're just going to do nothing but rise, 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 rise. And watch you. You're going to go very international. You're not going to be like in 3 countries or 7 or 9. You're just going to hit it super big.
Well, thank you. And let's watch this space, hey? Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed your Mindgasm. Remember, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to follow me on Instagram at Jen Bezza to send in any questions and be the first to find out who we have coming up next. Have a great day.